I'd like to begin by turning again, please, to John's Gospel in chapter 14. I'd like to say amen to what we've heard. These are tremendous truths that our brother is bringing before us, and they're a tremendous foundation for our Christian life. I've also learned, I trust we're all learning this weekend, that the upper room is indeed a large upper room. And we're seeing tremendous truths in that upper room ministry this weekend. John chapter 14, please. First of all, verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Chapter 13, and the verse 1. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Chapter 14 again, please. And the verse 15. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Back to your Old Testament, please. First of all, to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. Chapter 21, just in case you're not very familiar with the context, we'll read from verse 1, Exodus 21 and the verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Again for a final reading, please, this time in 2 Samuel. The second book of Samuel. And chapter 23, 2 Samuel 23, and the verse 16. And the three mighty men, verse 15 for connection, David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And God will again bless the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. I want to continue by God's help and seek to show what your response and mine ought to be to the love that we've heard about. We've heard so much about the Father's love to the Son, and we've heard about the Son's love to the Father, and we've heard of the Son's love for us. Dear saints, I hope it's beginning just to kindle already in our hearts from what we heard, that there ought to be a tremendous response in my heart to the love that has been shown to me and the love that has been shown to you. And I trust that as the Word of God has been brought before us, not only has our minds being enlightened, I trust that our hearts are being warmed, and I trust that our hearts are being drawn to the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says here, well, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he goes further. He says, if you love me, keep my words. Just in the time that's available, I want us to understand, first of all, perhaps I should say this first. When we come down there to verse 23 of John 14, our enjoyment, I think our brother has already been bringing this to us, our enjoyment of divine persons. We spoke yesterday about the divine person of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And here we have the Lord Jesus saying that the Father will come to us, and the Lord Jesus himself will come to us, and we will make our abode with him. But if you and I are going to know the blessing of the presence of divine persons with us, it comes to us on the line of obedience. That's why we have the Lord Jesus saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he says, and I will pray the Father, etc. That's why he says in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, etc. It's coming, the enjoyment of it. Now, we've said this already in the conference. You and I have been blessed with much positional truth. There are, dear saints, today, who have not the blessing of having heard the truth that you and I have heard. But we've heard the truth and we know these things, but are we in the enjoyment of them? Is it making an impression upon us? Is it changing us? Is it changing my life? I want to now come and think about these commandments. The word that's used for commandments conveys the idea of an order, a charge, an injunction, something that is clear, plain, straight, and unmistakable. When we come to verse 23, the Lord Jesus says, if you love me, keep my words. That is something different than the commandments. The Greek word logos, and the idea it seems to convey is this: a collection of thoughts put together and then expressed. It is the expression of the mind. Now, where do we find his commandments? Dear saints, we find them in the Word of God. Where do we find his words? The expressions of his mind, we find them in the Word of God. And again, it has been stated, and we have seen in these chapters, that's why I read the end of chapter 14 and the beginning of chapter 13, that the foundation principle of Christianity is love. It is not a set of rules and regulations. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. It is not the conformity, the outward conformity to some kind of set of rules, but the foundation, principle, and indeed the motivating principle of Christianity is love. Self-giving, self-sacrificing love. Love, whatever the cost. You see, the Lord Jesus there, John 13:1, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And the idea there is this, that he went through with everything. He loved us so much that he went through with everything. And we've stated it time and again over the weekend, the context of John 14 in the upper ministry, we're just before the cross. And his love for you and me is such that he went through with everything. Everything connected with Calvary, he went through it all in love to you and me. If you love me, he now says, keep my commandments. Our obligation, that's what commandments bring us under. They bring us under obligation. Simple examples, baptism, the Lord's Supper, the unequal yoke, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. These things are clear. I just throw them out as examples. And I say again, our enjoyment of the relationship we have with divine persons comes to us along the line of obedience. And that also brings us into the assurance of salvation. Dear younger believer, there's nothing that will bring greater and greater and greater assurance to you of your own salvation than following the line of obedience. Says John in his epistle, this is how we may be sure that we know him, by obeying his commandments. You see, it builds up the assurance. But then we come to John 14:23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. You see, love doesn't stop at just keeping commandments. Love doesn't stop with minimum requirements. We all know the kind of regulations in the world that we've all got to live by. And you know what we do is we get to the minimum requirement. That'll do. That'll get the car past the test. Or that'll do. You see, we've met the minimum requirements. That's all that's required. So that'll do. That's not love. That's not love's response. Love's response doesn't stop at minimum requirements. The mere keeping of commandments. And I want to say too that in a love relationship, because dear saints, today that's what we're in with the Lord Jesus. We're in a love relationship. Oh, the Father loves the Son. And with this, the same love that the Father loves the Son loves you and me. And that love took him through with everything. It's a love relationship. And you're complaining that the Christian pathway's too hard. And the way's too straight and the way's too narrow. My friend, every time you think like that, turn to Calvary. Turn to the cross. And see that one hanging there in agony and shame for you and me. And let that touch your heart and let it draw your soul. And away with all the notions that, we don't need to do this and there's no commandment for that. And it doesn't really say we shouldn't and it doesn't really say we should. What an attitude. When God's eternal Son has come into the world as a man and suffered agonies untold that we might be saved. We're his special people. We're in a love relationship. Oh, that our hearts would respond to him and desire to please him. You see, in a marriage that's working, this is an example, and it's a scriptural example, because the love of Christ for the church is pictured in a proper marriage. And in a proper marriage relationship, you know, everything doesn't need to be spelled out. Back in my home, There's not a list up in the kitchen wall, all the things my wife needs to do and all the things that I'm not allowed to do. Nothing of the kind. We know each other, we love each other, and we don't try not to do something that displeases. And that's just a little picture, but dear friend, bring it through to the divine things. I want to illustrate it. I want to illustrate these principles in that Old Testament that we've turned to. I want to show you the picture of the Hebrew servant. I judge the picture of the Hebrew servant as a picture of the Lord Jesus. I judge that the master is a picture of the father. The wife is a picture of the church. The children are a picture of the individual believer. I hope we know the story well. And again, I want to say this just in the run past. Dear younger believers, get you into the Old Testament. Thinking about Nehemiah chapter 3 and the old gate. That's the way to shine light upon the truth that's in the New Testament. Go through there and see it illustrated. You want to speak about substitution? I'll not get down this side track for too long. You want to speak about substitution, dear younger brother, in the gospel? And if you're trying to preach the gospel, God bless you and God help you. And dear brother, keep at it. But if you want to illustrate, for instance, the truth of substitution, don't be thinking about the football matches and such like. Get yourself into Genesis chapter 22. There you'll see the divinely given illustration that has its own power and has its own weight because it's Scripture. It's the breathed out Word of God that carries its own power with it. And just think of those lovely words. And Abraham offered up the lamb in the stead of Isaac. There's the picture for you. Use the old gate. But now come back to through the old gate to this Hebrew servant. He could have gone out free, but his love for his master was such that he went to the door. Think about that in relation to the Lord's love to the Father, that the world might know that I love the Father. And as the Father hath given me commandment, even so he went forth. But think of it as a picture too of the Lord giving his life for us. Think of the Hebrew servant who could have walked free, and he surrendered his liberty so that he could be with the wife and the children. And every time in that lovely home that was motivated by love, every time they looked at the father, that Hebrew servant, they saw that mark in his ear. That mark of his love and his devotion to them who surrendered all and surrendered his liberty that he might be with them. Do I need to ask the question, would they love him? He could have walked out the door and gone down the road, never to be seen again. But he went to the doorpost and had the ear bored through with an awl so that they can be together forever. Would they not then model their own life on that self-giving, self-sacrificing love? Of course they would. He surrendered his liberty. Are they going to take every liberty that they can? Ach, he didn't really say we shouldn't do that. We'll just try. We'll chance our arm. We'll take the chances. We'll push the line. Never. Because that man had surrendered his liberty for them. They will not take liberties. Would they not desire to know his mind? Of course they would. And every time he expressed his mind, they would just be willing. And just be willing and ready out of love to respond in a positive way. Dear saints, apply the picture to your life and I'll try and apply it to mine. What's our response to the mind of the Lord? We're going to come to it. And just point out one or two things of the Lord's mind. But again, just have a quick look at the second picture. It's David's last words. He's speaking in 2 Samuel 23. But he's referring back to an event that had happened 40 years previous. That's the chronology of 2 Samuel 23. David's just about to go into the glory. And he's reviewing the past and he's reviewing his friends. And he thinks away back, and you can read all about it in 1 Samuel 22. There were 400 men with him in the cave of Adullam. And David was in rejection. Oh, the picture is just so beautiful. We're with the Lord in the scene of his rejection, aren't we? And all these 400 men were under David's authority. And at David's command, these men would have gone anywhere or done anything. If David had said, go do it, they would have gone. But David now in 2 Samuel 23, sitting or lying on his bed, I don't know what, and he recalls a day when he simply expressed his mind. That's the Logos, you see. That's my words. That's not my commandments. It's my words. And David thinks back and he remembers a day when he just sat and said, do you know, I wish I had a drink of that water that comes from Bethlehem. There was three men heard it. I'll need to be quick with this, but there was three men that heard the expression of David's mind. It was not a command. He did not say, you three men, get you down to Bethlehem and get me that water. He didn't speak like that. It wasn't a command. He just expressed the longing of his heart. Just very quickly now. There was three men heard that expression, at least three men. And out of love to David, were determined at whatever cost to themselves to keep his words. I want you to notice that they must have been close enough to hear. Our brother has said that to us. Who is the one who knows the mind of Christ? It was John who had his head upon the Savior's bosom. They were close enough to hear. They were devoted enough to try. This thing looked like a mission impossible. Because the Philistines were gathered round the well of Bethlehem. It looks like mission impossible. But they were devoted enough to try. And because we can read it now back in history, we can discover that they were determined enough to succeed. I just wondered what the other 397 men in the cave thought. Did they think, well, now, there's no need for these boys to be going down here. David never commanded it. Did they say they're taking this love for David thing too far? Did they say there's no need to go to such extremes? Did they say, who do these three think they are? Just apply it now to all our hearts. You see someone stepping out in devotion to the Lord and going a little further than you or I are prepared to go. What's your attitude to them? Well, I'm only surmising what these men might have thought, but I'll tell you something that I do know. I know what David thought about it, because he tells us about it in 2 Samuel 23. David valued that devotion far more than he desired the water. And he looked on that as true worship. And he poured it, we haven't time to explain it, but he poured it out like a drink offering before God. Such was the way he valued these men's devotion. Something for God in it. Dear saints, there's a day of review before us. It's all in relation to our present life. Our Lord has left us his commandments. That's the minimum requirement. And as our brother has said, if God has given us light on his word, then we are responsible to obey. And don't be scolding those that haven't got the light that you've got. You walk in the light that you have. But he's also left us his words, the expression of his mind. Have we gone over to this idea in our hearts that if something's not prohibited, then it must be permitted? Have we gone over to this idea in our hearts, if there's not a direct specified command, then we're under no obligation? I want you to turn, we'll take 5 minutes. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, please, very quickly. And down there at verse 19, Galatians 5 and 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And I want you to catch the next three words. And such like. And such like. And what do we have here? In the verses, in these words that we've read, adultery, fornication, etc., impurity of mind, sensuality, jealousy, selfish ambition, envy, drunkenness, revelings. He says, those that do these things are not inheriting the kingdom of God. That is an example of his commands. These things ought not to be seen in your life or mine. And don't think that once we've got clear of verse 19, then everything's well. Now, of course, there shouldn't be adultery or fornication or uncleanness of mind. But just judge yourselves in the other things as well. Selfish ambition, envy, jealousy. The Lord says, it's his commands. These things are works of the flesh and they need to be cast aside. But we've not only got his commands, we've got his word. And let me just remind you that these words in Galatians are the words of the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, the things that I write unto you, they are the commandments of the Lord. Don't ever forget that. And we've got his words and such like. Now what that means is this. The apostle says this. And what he means is, and anything that resembles or looks like these things. Loving him, knowing his mind, we avoid anything that promotes the above evils or is linked with the above evils. We do not need a verse in the Bible to tell us not to go to places that would fill our minds with impure thoughts. There's not a verse in the Bible that tells you we don't go to the bars and the clubs. There's not a verse like that. But it promotes things like this. And dear saint of God, if we hear his words and we love him, we'll not be anywhere near these places. There's not a verse in the Bible that doesn't say we should play, that says we shouldn't play the games of chance. But when our Lord says, and I'm quoting Colossians 3 and 5 now, when our Lord says in his words that covetousness is idolatry, and the worship of the material, you know, I'll not be doing anything that looks anything like that now. I'll not be playing the prize draws and the games of chance, keeping away from anything that resembles that. What about variance? That's contention and strife. Are we keeping away from anything that looks like it or savors of it? What is your movements among the people of God? What are you known for? Someone who's always contentious and causing strife and picking at this and picking at the next thing. It shouldn't. Things like that should be put aside because it's his words. What about emulation? That's rivalry and envious rivalry. Are we clear of everything that resembles it because it's his words? No, it's not commands. Anything like this, run from it, avoid it, throw it out. Because if not, then we're not keeping his words. He might keep the commandments. Oh, I've never been drunk, but keep away from anything that resembles this. I'll give you another of his words. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain, King James Version. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Another translation puts it this way. I quite like it. Hold aloof from every form of evil. Another one, steer clear from evil in any form. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the minimum. If you love me, keep my words. Colossians 3:16 says the apostle, let the word of Christ, that's the same word logos, let the expressions of Christ's mind dwell in you richly. And then we'll begin to think like him. Then we'll begin to talk like him. Then we'll begin to live like him. And then we will never, ever grieve him. If you love me, now let it challenge all our hearts in the quietness of God's presence. If you love me, keep my commandments. But remember the love relationship. Remember the Hebrew servant. Remember the three men who went more than the second mile. If you love me, keep my words. I trust that God would bless his word to all our hearts. Amen.